Jim Gaffigan is an actor and stand-up comedian. One of the most memorable and funniest aspects of Gaffigan's stand-up work is his use of the inner voice. To the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon takes a closer look at Jim Gaffigan's inner voice.
Jim Gaffigan started doing stand-up comedy about 15 years ago. Back then, he couldn't get stage time at regular comedy clubs, so he'd appear at performance art spaces. That's where he first developed the inner voice.
I developed a bunch of characters, and one of the characters was a lady that was really dissatisfied with the whole situation of the show.
Oh, he's a pale fella. I didn't know he was going to be so pale. Oh, and that shirt looks like a tablecloth. Is that a shirt or a blouse? I think he's wearing his mother's blouse. His pants look dirty.
And so it was inspired a little bit by that, but also I had a joke where if a joke didn't go over, I would say, my sister Kathy would love that joke didn't work. She'd be like, I think it's neat, no one's laughing. Maybe Jimmy should get a book on comedy. It's one of those things also where I kind of feel like we all have these kind of commentaries in our mind. And I'm a slow-talking Midwesterner, so working in New York, it's good to have constant words out there as opposed to pausing at all.
I wonder if he's wearing a thong. I didn't wonder that, now I do. Is this all he does? I can barely hear what he's saying.
Does the inner voice have a name?
We actually call it the inner voice. You know, I write everything with my wife. Definitely was something I would use when I was dating my wife and there would be an awkward situation. I could speak for her. I think the reason it works is because it kind of lets the audience in on the knowledge. If I'm talking about something that might be sensitive or irreverent, even though I really don't discuss, you know, I talk about bacon and Hot Pockets, really. But if I get close to the line, the inner voice can allow the audience to know that I'm aware of that line, whether it's doing a joke too often, something coming across as insulting, because I never want my stand-up to, like, make one person feel uncomfortable in the audience.
Actually, I only dated one Asian girl, but she was very Asian. She was a panda.
Hey, I like pandas. They're endangered, fella. You and your girl shirt.
Not Korean. I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but both my parents were white.
I think one of them was a polar bear. Yeah, that's why he went out with a panda. I didn't know he was going to be doing bear jokes. Seems weird to me. He looks like he eats a lot of candy.
So the inner voice is a good way to beat hecklers to the punch, isn't it?
Not only hecklers, but it protects the likability. So if I say something that, you know, I have tons of jokes on religion, but they're not constructed on bashing Christianity. I mean, my wife is pretty devout Catholic. So the inner voice can allow me to communicate to people that I'm aware that I'm coming close to the line, but I'm not doing it just to be irreverent.
Jesus, of course, was a carpenter. We all know that. You think Jesus was a good carpenter? Because the Bible doesn't really address it. I mean, who knows? Back then, people could have been, good thing that Messiah thing worked out. Yeah, he built a shed for my cousin. What a piece of crap. The entire time he's like, I'm the son of God. Well, right now you're building a shed. So hop to it, Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if I was electrocuted right now?
He did a Jesus joke and he was electrocuted. It's the best show I've ever seen. And it helped my faith.
It's really kind of a no-no in stand-up to apologize after a joke or criticize yourself because it's seen as vulnerable. But then again, you know, Johnny Carson and Letterman do it very well. But you're giving up some of the power when you criticize a joke. You know, it's a conversation. If people think that the conversation's boring, then they might start zoning out. I don't think that it's one person. I think that I do have a lot of, you know, voices in my head and a critical kind of side to my thinking.
No one really likes fish. They just won't admit it.
Like, I like fish just as long as it doesn't taste like fish.
I got news for you. I don't think you like fish. I'm almost positive fish is supposed to taste like fish. Actually, you know what's really good on fish? Anything that kills the taste of fish. How about relish and a gallon of mayo? That'll do the job. What if we squeeze a lemon and wrap it in seaweed and cover it in soy sauce? He's anti-fish. And we're right next to Lake Michigan. I am amazed that we're still serving fish with the heads on there. Don't you always feel like that eye's looking at you like,
hey, you don't mind if I watch while you eat my body, do you? Don't be distracted, a little tear comes out. You can just tell yourself it's butter.
Oh, what if a fish was in the audience? That would be awkward for all of us. It could happen. Lake Michigan's right there, buddy. The fish would laugh, but on the inside, it'd be crying. Sad. You and your fish head joke.
The inner voice of comedian Jim Gaffigan. He spoke with, to the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gorton.